Hello and welcome to the Soitec Fiscal Year 2025 First Quarter Revenue Call. Please note this call is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the call. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. If you require assistance at any time, please press star zero and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Pierre Barnabé, CEO, to begin today's conference. Please go ahead.
Hello everyone and welcome to Soitec's conference call dedicated to the publication of our Fiscal Year 2025 First Quarter Revenue. This is a quarter covering the period from April to June 2024. I'm Pierre Barnabé, Soitec CEO. Together with me on this call are Léa Alzingre, our CFO, and Steve Babureck, our EVP Strategy. As usual, we will start with a few comments on our figures, and after that, we'll open the floor to questions. As we had announced in May, we hit in Q1 2025 our bottom after a very strong Q4 2024 and before the expected rebound foreseen in the second part of the fiscal year. Q1 revenue is in line with our expectations when we disclosed our guidance for the full fiscal year 2025. As we shared with you, the RF-SOI inventory corrections across the value chain have continued to weigh on our mobile communication revenue. This correction offsets another very strong performance in POI. Meanwhile, after a long period of very strong growth in automotive and industrial, we faced in Q1 the impact of a slower automotive market. We are carefully monitoring the automotive market this year, and we remain confident that further digitalization and electrification of the automotive industry will remain powerful drivers for the years to come. Regarding silicon carbide, we continue to progress on our roadmap and to build an entire ecosystem around our cutting-edge SmartSiC technology. I will come back to it later. To complete the overview of our Q1 performance, we achieved a very solid growth in edge and cloud AI. We have rebranded our Smart Devices divisions, now called Edge and Cloud AI, to better reflect the two dynamic markets we are addressing, Edge AI and Cloud AI. There will be no change in perimeter and reporting. All in all, we remain confident that the expected RF-SOI recovery will occur in the second part of the fiscal year on the back of a recovery in the smartphone market, and we therefore reiterate our fiscal year 2025 guidance. So let me now outline our Q1 figures. Revenue in Q1 2025 reached 121 million euros. This compares to 157 million euros achieved in Q1 2024. It represents a 23% decline on a reported basis, breaking down between a 24% decline on an organic basis and a slightly positive currency impact of 1%. Let's look now in more details at our Q1 revenue by end market, starting with mobile communications. With a sharp drop in the volumes of RF-SOI delivered in Q1 2025, mobile communications accounted for only 40% of our revenue. Indeed, mobile communications revenue reached 48 million euros. This represents a 46% decrease, excluding currency impact, against Q1 2024. As mentioned earlier, RF-SOI sales have continued to be impacted by the ongoing inventory absorption across the smartphone supply chain. We continue to see signs of recovery in the smartphone market, as well as improving inventory levels at fabless and OEMs. In the first quarter of fiscal year 2025, RF-SOI activities were slower to let persisting inventories flow down the value chain, resulting in substantially lower volumes compared to the first quarter of fiscal year 2024. In the context of a resilient smartphone market and healthier inventory level, we are confident that the RF-SOI inventory absorptions among our direct customers will soon come to an end, and that our RF-SOI sales will recover in the second half of fiscal year 2025. To add one more comment about RF-SOI, we continue to strengthen our customers' intimacy and bring innovative products to the market. In that perspective, we announced in Q1 2025 an extension of our partnerships with UMC to bring to the market the industry's first 3D IC solution for RF-SOI technology. As we extend the domain of RF-SOI solutions to 3D integration, our customers will be able to integrate more RF front-end modules into a single device by vertically stacking dies and using wafer-to-wafer bonding technology. Future smartphones will accommodate new frequency bands and visions for the 5G Advanced and 5G era, while making room for new features to come. Moving on to POI. The very strong traction that we delivered in fiscal year 2024 has continued into fiscal year 2025, with sales increasing quarter after quarter since the beginning of fiscal year 2024. We recorded a sharp growth in POI wafer compared to Q1 2024. We continue to see an increasing number of customers validating the POI technology as a standard for RF filters. After three new customers who entered into productions in H2 2024, we added another one in Q1 2024. This brings to nine our total number of active customers, and we still have more than 10 in qualification phase. Our strong tractions on POI leverages the increasing adoption in discrete filters for the Chinese market. The ongoing second adoption wave is supporting more filter integration in complex PAMID modules. As for FD-SOI, sales were slightly below the level of Q1 2024, illustrating a phasing effect. FD-SOI will continue to benefit from greater millimeter wave penetration, increasingly more premium smartphones, growing Wi-Fi 6 and 7 penetration, and new applications beyond smartphones. Overall, we are confident in both short and long-term prospects for mobile communication business, with the confirmed sign of recovery in the global smartphone market, the expected end of the RF-SOI inventory absorptions among our customers, the very positive momentum for POI, and the strong positionings of FD-SOI. Let's move now to automotive industrial, which was not as robust as the very strong year achieved in fiscal year 2024. Automotive industrial revenue reached 26 million euros. This is a 31% year-on-year revenue decline, excluding currency impact compared to Q1 2024. After several quarters of continuous and significant growth, our Q1 revenue has been impacted by a slower automotive market. The decline in revenue is essentially due to a drop in volumes of Power-SOI after several quarters of significant year-on-year growth, which led to a very strong Q4 2024. We remain confident in Power-SOI prospect. Power-SOI is supported by a growing number of foundries and IDMs worldwide, and it is a key component for battery management systems, gate drivers, and in-vehicle networking. FD-SOI wafers recorded another strong performance, supported by an increasing adoption for automotive microcontrollers, imagers, radars, and wireless connectivity. FD-SOI is the greenest technology choice for the development of zonal architectures, advanced driver assistance systems, high functional safety applications, wireless communication, radar, and edge computing. By embracing FD-SOI technology, the automotive industry can significantly reduce its carbon footprint without sacrificing performances. We are delivering on a growing demand for 28 nanometers and 22 nanometers FD-SOI as a platform to drive automotive systems with zonal computing, and the recent adoptions of 18 nanometers FD-SOI is a strong endorsement of our product roadmap. Finally, we continue to progress on our SmartSiC roadmap, building up an entire ecosystem around our cutting-edge SmartSiC technology. The number of samples and prototypes that we delivered to more than 25 prospects globally continues to increase for evaluation and qualification processes. SmartSiC device qualification and SmartSiC wafer productions ramp-up in our plant will continue step by step, driven by customer demand and EV penetration. Looking ahead, we are confident on our SmartSiC roadmap and our ability to make SmartSiC a standard in a growing EV market. Finally, we recorded strong growth in edge and cloud AI. Edge and cloud AI accounted for 38% of our total revenue in Q1 2025. Revenue reached 46 million euros, a strong 47% increase, excluding currency impact compared to Q1 2024. It reflects different dynamics across our diverse products. Sales of FD-SOI wafers were below the level of Q1 2024 due to a phasing effect on deliveries. They continue to be supported by edge computing devices and in particular by the need for ultra low power edge AI applications. Sales on Imagers SOI were particularly strong in Q1 25 as we benefited from a phasing effect. Sales of Photonics SOI wafers were much higher than in Q1 24. They were driven by the growing appetite for more powerful and more energy efficient data centers to sustain the exponential growth of AI-related computing power capabilities. Photonics SOI is now a standard technology platform for high-speed and high-bandwidth optical interconnections in data centers, adopted in pluggable optical transceivers and used for the development of co-packaged optics. Turning now to our fiscal year 25 outlook. As indicated earlier, we reconfirm our fiscal year 25 guidance. We expect our fiscal year 25 revenues to be stable at constant exchange rate and perimeter versus fiscal year 24. After the low point reached in Q1, we are expecting Q2 to improve sequentially as we confirm that H1 is expected to be at around -15% year-on-year at constant exchange rate and perimeter. Our full-year guidance implies a strong recovery in H2. This recovery will be led by a sharp rebound in our FSOI as the inventory absorptions among our customers comes to an end in the context of a stronger smartphone market. It will also benefit from our strong growth in POI and Photonics SOI. In addition, we also confirm expecting our fiscal year 25 EBITDA margin to reach around 35%. So, as a conclusion, let me highlight that we are leveraging the diversification of our product portfolio. We can now rely on a much better balance between our three divisions. Within each of these divisions, we have developed a much more diverse range of products. We are strengthening our strong leadership in SOI product, RF, FD, power, photonics, imager, and are succeeding in our expansions beyond SOI into compound semiconductors, in particular with POI, but also smart SiC. This ends my opening remarks. Thank you for your attention. We are now ready to take your questions.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. Our first questions come from Alexander Pitak from Bernstein. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. I just have two. So the first one is just on what exactly is going on in terms of the moving parts of your revenue in the first quarter. It seems to me that Edge AI had a bit of a one-off boost in Imager SOI. So if you could maybe clarify what you mean exactly by the phasing effect here. And we had the big decline in auto. So if that continues into the remainder of the year, it seems to me we'll no longer have the offset of very strong Edge AI that looks like a bit of a one-off. So just correct me if I'm wrong there. Just explain to us whether automotive declines will continue at this pace or will this soften in the remainder of the year in your view? And my second question is really on the qualification of SmartSiC at STM. Can you reiterate that this is still a calendar 2024 event or could it slip into 2025 given the softness in automotive? Thanks very much, guys.
Hello, Alexander. There are indeed several questions, more than two, because there are many moving parts we need to describe a bit more. Then you're right to mention that there are moving parts, but the good news, the very good news, is the ability now of the Soitec groups, I would like to say the new Soitec groups, to face up and down within a quarter, depending on market demands. And it's very good to see that in front of softened, let's say, automotive market, we managed to develop more activities around the edge and cloud AI, thanks to photonics and imager. Then to enter more into details, if we look at edge and cloud AI, we benefit from imager orders. That is also showing that in this type of applications we are providing high-level products. We manage also to face very important demands in photonics SOI and more to sustain the AI adoptions in data centers and also at the edge level. And this is also the ability of our manufacturing and plants to be versatile and to be flexible in the way we need to produce our different SOI, we like to say wafers. That's the first point. Second point is on the automotive. There is a slowdown in the growth that is impacting our Q1 revenue this year. We see a market that's going to be more or less flattish for us this year, particularly because power SOI demand is a bit slowing down. We had a very good fiscal year 24, as you know, and we need to see our customers getting more and more, let's say, demands from automotive users. But we see this market more or less in a flattish zone for power SOI and FD-SOI. Looking smart SiC, we are in an adoption phase, as you know. Then what is very important is, I believe we need to start with original point. The original point coming from us, because we are creating this standard. And on smart SiC, we are exactly on time, as a company, as Soitec. Then we are on time with what we promised to the market in terms of technology. We are on time in what we promised to the market in terms of product and the features of the product for the 150 millimeters and then 200 millimeters. We are on time in the building up of the ecosystems with poly-SiC, mono-SiC providers. We are on time by having a factory that is up and running to produce massively. Now, it's a question of SiC demands and SiC markets. Okay? Then in the range of fiscal year 24, some qualification events will occur, but in fiscal year 25, some qualification events will occur. In fiscal year 26, qualification events will occur. Fiscal year 28, qualification events will occur also. Then it's a question of timings across the different customers. Because as we explained already, the automotive market is a complex market. We need to be qualified through different models, through different IDM or integrators. Then there are calendars of qualification across the 3-4 years to come. Then it's where we are working on. What is super important at the end of the day is to keep very strong relationships with our customers, the 3 customers we have today, the 25 prospects we are working on today. And you're going to see across the quarters that step by step, we're going to expand our commercial footprint and we're going to make smart SiC a standard in the years to come. And that's very important for our customers and our prospects to feel that we are ready, product, technology, ecosystem, and manufacturing point of view.
So just to clarify, because we know of one named tier one customer that you have in smart SiC and SDM, you can no longer commit to the fact that it's actually going to be a 2024 event, calendar 24. I mean, I'm just asking because that's the only one we know about. So I understand you're going to have more qualifications and so on, but we just need to know where the SDM qualification stands.
First of all, we cannot talk on behalf of any of our customers. As you know, we are just talking about what we commit. We still expect one part of the qualification by the end of fiscal year 24, okay? But we'll have other steps, as I said already. It's a steppable qualification process. you have the 150, then the 200, then you have different type of models and so on. Then it's a steppable qualification process, but we expect the first one by the end of fiscal year 25.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will take our next questions from Sebastian Sabovic from Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello everyone. Thanks for taking my question. On RF-SOI, could you please comment a little bit more on the level of inventory among your large foundry partners, where they are standing right now, what kind of visibility you have really on the RF-SOI inventory, or are you sure that by September it will be more or less completed? Thank you. This is the first question. Thank you.
Then, as we said, we see a rebound on the second half of the fiscal year 25. We are observing and monitoring very cautiously for the information we are gathering. Of course, they are open. There are also discussions with customers, and it's aggregations of many data. At the end of the day, we clearly see that at fabless and OEM levels, inventories are in a replenishment mode in many cases. Okay, not everywhere, but in many cases. With a strong, dynamics in China and other parts of the world, a bit less timid in Western world, but waking up step by step. Regarding at the foundries level, it's a diverse pictures. Some foundries are already in a replenishment mode. Others are still in a depletion mode, okay? Then average, the rebound gonna come in second half fiscal year of 25. But it's what is clear is the depletion is ongoing. Looking at the level of RFSOI we had in Q1, you can guess that we are in a depletion mode. In Q2, it's gonna continue, and we see on H2 replenishment and some active orders coming from the foundries, coming from China, but also coming from the rest of the world.
Okay. And coming back to SmartSiC, there is a significant capacity addition around SiC wafers in China with Tankeblue, SICC building up a lot of capacity. There is maybe some risk of overcapacities in China. Is this something that could affect the development of your SmartSiC business going forward?
Today, the real trigger point for smart SiC business is the demand of electric vehicles for the coming years. That's really the point. Because we know already the mono SiC production capabilities in China for years. We know already the level of prices that is expected by calendar 28, calendar 29, and we are prepared for that by having a plan to be cost effective, because our smart SiC is by structures cost effective. And the real differentiations we are bringing is still totally active and accurate. And we are proving it with our 25 prospects. That means concentration of dyes, better conductivity, lower CO2 consumptions for the productions, but also for the running. Then this is really the four differentiators that are counting for our smart SiC conquest. And the real trigger point is not overproduction in China, prices of the mono SiC. I would like to say we are benefiting from it because we are buying some mono SiC wafers, and we are benefiting from this effect. The real question is the reasons of, adoption of electric vehicles across the world that going to give the tempo for the smart SiC adoptions and deliveries. This is really the name of the game. But from a technology and economical point of view, what is happening today in China is not a surprise to us, and we are prepared for it.
Thank you, Pierre.
Thank you. Our next question comes from François Bouvinis from UBS. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question is, you talk about H2 recovery, but you reiterated the 15% decline in the first half, which after minus 25% in Q1, that would suggest a very sharp recovery already in Q2. I mean, more than 80% quarter-on-quarter. So I was wondering if you could, explain, what is driving this sharp recovery on a quarter-on-quarter basis by business line would be helpful, and if there is anything we should be aware of.
Yes. First of all, the seasonality of a Q2 higher than the Q1, it's quite classical with Soitec. And last year, we had a 70%, I believe, increase between Q1 and Q2, then something very comparable. We're going to benefit from growth effect in many domains and many products, and we see our FD-SOI growing significantly compared, of course, to Q1, obviously. We see also FD-SOI higher figures. We see photonics that are going to continue, of course, to increase because the demand for photonics is higher and higher. And of course, POI that are going to continue to progress, taking into account that each month we are making some progresses in the yield and the production capacity of our Bernin 3 factories. And with these four main lines of products, you can guess the big rebound we're going to get between Q1 and Q2. That's going to be also the drivers for the full year. The four main products we mentioned are going to fuel the big growth also between H2 and H1 because we're going to get also a very big growth between the two semesters.
Right. Thank you. And my follow-up would be on POI. You mentioned 10 customers under qualification. And I was wondering if, is there any customer that could change the scale of this business line? I mean, because for now, you had these nine customers that you said, and it's growing fast, but I guess from a low base, and you still don't want to disclose the percentage of revenue that POI is. So I guess it's not a big portion yet. So I was wondering if among these 10 customers, if there is any that can move the needle a bit more in terms of the size of your customer.
Of course. We will have more and more customers that are going to move the needle. But the ambition we have since the beginning on each product we put on the market is to become a standard. Then having nine customers today, 10 under qualification, meaning 20 at the end of the day, you can guess that among the 20, we have big elephants. And of course, if we manage to get these 20 customers qualified and in production, we're going to be very close to declare POI as a standard. And this is part of our plan. Then POI is going to continue to grow very fast in the coming two to three years at minimum. And of course, in this trajectory, three or four big customers are going to be part of this trajectory and this growth, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take our next questions from Olivia Honychurch from Jefferies. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Morning. Thank you for taking the question. My first is on the mobile business. So we're hearing quite a lot of positive news flow across the industry around the smartphone market, and you've mentioned it in your comments around seeing the early signs of a recovery. We're also hearing that Apple is expecting pretty healthy builds across its supply chain for the iPhone 16. Is it possible that those trends could help drive a faster depletion or are helping to drive a faster depletion of our FD-SOI inventories than what you had previously expected? And I guess following on from that, as a result, a quicker or steeper recovery after we get to that bottom in the inventory cycle?
Yeah. Of course, the rebound of the smartphone market is confirming and strengthening our signals and our visibility to experience a rebound on the second half of fiscal year 2025 and, of course, beyond. Of course, it is taking time for us because of inventory depletions we are experiencing right now, really, in the minutes we are talking. That means that H2 going to see a replenishment and for sure more and more RF-SOI wafers to be delivered. Then come the acceleration of the rebound of the smartphone market that could fuel a bit better growth, but that should come in the next years, okay? And if we take the example of AI introduction within the phone and the expectations that people are going to get back to new materials, new devices, this will occur by end of calendar 2024, early calendar 2025. That means that we're going to benefit from this effect right after. Of course, it's good news for Soitec midterm, and that's going to reinforce our $2 billion midterm revenue target. But this will come later. But the good news is that it gives very strong signals of growth and maybe acceleration of this growth in the smartphone industry. And second, it's going to also give us hopes that the footprints in RF FD are going to increase because we are targeting here premium and high-end phones that, as you know, is benefiting to Soitec.
Great. Thank you. And my second is on FD-SOI for millimeter wave. How much of the market are you penetrated with here today, and how do you see that going forward? Is there a chance that you see adoption at some point outside of the Android side of the market?
Then for the moment, as you know, millimeter wave is in the range of 15% adoption rate because limited to three main countries, one of which being the States. The block remover would be China, but for the moment, there is no clear signal that China is going to adopt a millimeter wave solutions or a millimeter wave-like solutions. And we stick to 15%, and our model is betting on 15%. But what we see is more and more FD-SOI needs to sustain this millimeter wave, let's say, features. If you take the Galaxy S24, we have a 50 millimeter square RF-SOI for front-end modules, but we have also 50 millimeter square of FD-SOI to sustain the millimeter wave capabilities for the U.S. model. Then it is also fueling the development of FD-SOI. But you know FD-SOI is not only dedicated for millimeter wave. We have other applications like envelope trackers, satellite connectivities, and so on for which a millimeter wave is, sorry, FD-SOI is necessary. Then we see more and more features fueling, of course, the need for better footprints in the smartphones from Soitec. And the AI adoptions could also fuel the extensions of the footprint. We expect an increase by 10% of the footprint yearly base.
That's great. Thank you.
Whatever it is, Android, Apple, and so on, it's average.
Thank you. We will take our next questions from Didier Scemama from Bank of America. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to go back to your second quarter guide. I think you guide first half down about 15%, and obviously, there's been much debate in your question on 80% or 88%+ growth in Q2. So I just wanted to go back to what you mentioned, Pierre, which is that automotive and industrial will be sort of flattish from here. So A, did I understand correctly? Is that a guide for Q2 and for the rest of the year? And implicitly, if that's the case, where is the growth coming from? Is it mobile and edge and cloud AI? Maybe just give us a bit of color on how do you see the trends for these two markets. I appreciate Q1 is a very depressed level. well below, in fact, where you have been in the past. And then Q2 has happened, you know, this sort of very brutal sequential growth rate. But surely, you know, there is a lot of concern in the market that, you know, you might not be able to deliver on that guide in Q2 and in the second half. So maybe just give us a bit of color. And I've got a quick follow-up on filters. Thank you.
Well, of course. if you remember last year, the Q1, Q2 sequence was plus 70%. Then this year it's plus 80%, and we are really in the same range. And the performance we're going to reiterate this year, fueled by a rebound in RF-SOI, because really we have reached the lowest point in RF-SOI in Q1. Then we're gonna increase significantly between Q2 and Q1 on RF-SOI. We're gonna continue to grow and to accelerate the growth in POI, to accelerate the growth in photonics, and we also see a good momentum on FD-SOI, whatever the applications. Of course, for edge and cloud applications, for automotive application, and also smartphones, mobile communication applications. And these are the four engines of growth: RF, POI, photonics, FD-SOI. They're gonna bring us to around minus 15% decline in H1 from minus 24 in Q1. This is really what we see. And taking the last part of your question on flavors and the filters and POI. As we say, the fact that you remember nine months ago, I was talking about five customers. We have today nine customers. We are in qualification with 10 new customers, amongst which, you understood my answer, there are big customers, very significant, game changers. Then you can imagine that the filters POI activity is going to continue to fuel the growth, not only in Q2. Sorry.
That's helpful, but just clarify your flattish commentary for autos. Is that from the Q1 level for the rest of the year, which implies obviously a very significant decline for the full year, or is it flat for the full year? So compared to the 163 in fiscal year 24.
Flattish for the full years. Taking into account, if you remember that there are three big lines of products now within automotive: power, FD-SOI, and smart SiC.
Absolutely, and I think you sort of answered my follow up on the filter business. But on the sort of 9+1 customers you have, I know you've got ambition to get to 30% market share in filters over time. And obviously, you seem to be quite enthused about your design win momentum with the other sort of big elephants in the market, as you call them. If you look at your 10 customers currently, how much market share do they have in RF filters? And if you were to convert the additional 10, would that give you that sort of magic more than 50% market share, at least in terms of, you know, you're talking to them, you're shipping to them, you've got technology designed in those guys, over time. So can you maybe just clarify that? That would be lovely. Thank you.
Yes. Then indeed, the filters market is a quite big market. We are with our technologies targeting the SAW segment and a part of the bow, then the surface acoustic waves layers and a bit of the bow also layers, and there are other technologies of course existing to provide filtering capabilities in the phones. Then among this market, what we are targeting, but perhaps we could revise a bit this target, but today what we are targeting is 30% market shares in the filtering the business thanks to our POI technology. Looking at the trend and the trajectory today, this is a reachable target. Could be perhaps revised up, but for the moment, this is what we are looking for.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take our next questions from Emmanuel Matot from ODDO BHF. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Pierre. Emmanuel speaking from ODDO. Two questions on my side. First, what normative level will your customers decide to keep for RF-SOI inventories in this new positive cycle for smartphone? Will it be lower in line or higher than what we have seen before COVID, according to you? What are your customers telling you on that topic? And second, you had your shareholder assembly yesterday. When will the board decide on the next chairman? What is the timetable? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Manuel. Then for the first question, we do believe that the level of inventories expected in the foundries particularly, but also in the whole value chain, in the whole supply chain, going to be comparable to let's say a pre-COVID level, even higher, because what we see, first of all, keep in mind that this level of inventory is made on the consumptions as it is today, but the consumptions will accelerate. That means that to be sure, nobody will miss new designs to come, they need to get a high level of inventories. We said it several times, but between the time a design is won by foundries and it is delivered into the phones, it's between 12 to 6 months, depending on the quality of the phones. That means that you can guess the level of inventory you need to have, including a buffer. Because what's going to be the next battle for the smartphone business to come, particularly with the next generation of smartphone embarking AI, going to be to hit and to win the deals and to be able to deliver. That's to be sure they're going to be able to deliver, they need enough inventories to catch these new deals to come. That's the reason why we do believe that the level of inventories will be quite comparable to pre-COVID, post-COVID in the middle effect. Then, but we will never see the pre-COVID level of inventory that were too low, way too low, because they want absolutely all of them to take the wave, because the market shares to be taken will be expensive. And it's now. Battle is starting now. Then regarding the General Assembly, we had a very good General Assembly, and of course with the change of chairman, with Christophe Jégout taking the interim, it's a very smooth. Eric also keeping a role as advisor, strategic advisor to me. The board is looking at profiles who could take over the chairmanship. There is no, let's say, timing pressures, particularly because, again, we have a very good interim of chairman who knows the company by heart and is accepted by everyone. Then let's say that in the course of 1 year, the board is going to be in a position, but I'm not talking on their behalf, huh? But they're going to be in a position to find a new chairman for the group.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will take our next questions from Aditya Matuku from HSBC. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my questions. So firstly, just on ImageSOI, I'm not sure I understood the response on phasing. I just wondered if you could give us some additional clarity on what exactly happened with ImageSOI in the quarter that drove revenues to be so strong. And secondly, I believe last quarter you said autos and industrial will grow in the double digits for the year. So now, if autos and industrial is going to be flat for the year, what is helping you keep your fiscal year 25 guidance unchanged? Where are you more optimistic on demand versus a few months ago to make up for the slower expectations in the automotive and industrial division? Thank you.
I will come back to Imager, but let's start with your question on automotive. That's right that one quarter ago, we were looking at a forecast by our customer that has been revised, reflecting automotive demands and markets. And we need to be adaptive, and we need to reflect what we see on the market demands and what we hear from customers. The very good news is that we are not losing market shares. I would like to say that we are gaining market shares. If I just look at Power SOI, we are getting more and more qualifications in this market, in this product. And we are talking about 300 millimeters now with many customers. And from 200 millimeters, we prepare the future for 300, but we need to be adaptive to our demand. And it's where Soitec is becoming more and more resilient and more flexible, is that we are able to, let's say, compensate this, slowdown in the automotive market by better forecast coming from edge and cloud AI, particularly coming from photonics, but not only, and also FD-SOI. Also compensated by a better POI forecast, as we can see, and RF-SOI that has been, starting with Q1, a bit better than we were expecting. And all in one, we see clearly a flattish fiscal year 25 because we are able, looking at up and down in the demand, thanks to the diversification of our product and customers, to be in a position to compensate, if any. Regarding the imager, it's a business quite concentrated. We have a seasonality effect on Q1. We're going to continue to sell some imager, of course, along the years. But there are some peak, and we had a peak in Q1. We're going to get other orders later in the years to come. But this is a particular application for a particular, type of customers I cannot disclose.
Understood. Thank you. Maybe just a quick follow-up. On the automotive and industrial side, would it be fair to assume that the slowdown is mainly due to PowerSOI and nothing else has changed in your expectations from a few months ago?
Yes, it's a slowdown really in terms of demand, nothing else. It's really linked to the market because again, when we look at the market shares we have in Power SOI and the needs to come, it's intact. And I would like to say we are more and more traction in terms of qualifications. When I look at FD-SOI, we see more and more adoptions in FD-SOI. It was part of my speech. In introductions, the fact to introduce AI in the cars going to be an incredible driver, an incredible leverage for FD-SOI adoption in the cars for the coming years. Because you're going to need FD-SOI to support AI applications, to support new type of safety, entertainment, and so on. And you're going to get also a particular need. For reducing power consumption in the cars. Power SOI being, of course, also particularly fitting for the battery management system in reduction of power consumption. And smart SiC, the fact that we are working with 25 prospects today on top of the three customers we have is also giving us a lot of confidence that this technology is going to be adopted as a standard in the coming 5 to 7 years.
Got it, but my question was specifically for this year, the reduction in expectations on the automotive and the industrial division, they're driven by PowerSOI and not by the other bits of automotive and industrial. Is my understanding correct? Or
No, it's an overall view that the combination of the main three product lines giving us to flattish yearly view for automotive industry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Daniel Schafei from Citi. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, morning. So just again on autos and industrials, so I thought, given that initially you were thinking more of double-digit growth for the year, now it's more flattish growth. How do you see the pace of recovery for this sector going forward? And yeah.
For the auto. Well, what we see, we just listen to the supply chain, and we listen to the main players in automotive industry. There is a slowdown in electric vehicles, okay, in the growth of the electric vehicles, because there is still a growth. The market is supposed to get back to intense growth level in the coming years. Then we're going to follow this demand, and we're going to anticipate also these demands. You know, again, what are the main drivers for the automotive transformation? Is whatever the model, EV, hybrid, combustion, it's digitalization for any models and electrification for hybrid and EV. We are providing products that are enhancing, enabling digitalizations and electrifications. Then our portfolio of products is exactly answering these two main growth drivers. Then this is, at the end of the day, the main point. And the fact that we are increasing our market shares and the adoption level, I cannot disclose any names, but we are in discussions with customers, very important customers in automotive industries that are not today using SOI solutions for the moment. Then if these prospects are becoming customers, it's going to be an acceleration in our market share. Then we're going to be, when the automotive market, we're going to grow steady again, we're going to benefit more from this growth, because in the meantime, we are preparing the ground to increase our market shares in power, FD, and of course, smart SiC.
Great. And if you could also give us a little bit more color on how much growth of this in the auto and industrial sector will be driven by demand from China?
Well, China, of course, is a very important market. For us, as you know, we are growing more and more in China overall, whatever our portfolio, and POI has benefited at the beginning from a very active Chinese market that was a kind of greenfield for new technology adoptions. We see this phenomenon everywhere. Then if we look at the automotive market, of course, the EV market in China is very important. It's the first one. But overall, we believe that for automotive, China should weight something like 30% of our automotive industrial business, let's say midterm. This is what we expect, reflecting more or less, finally, the car manufacturers and market volumes and value.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take our next questions from Robert Sanders from Deutsche Bank. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I guess on SOI power, I was just wondering what your split is between 200 and 300 at the moment. I guess the reason I'm asking is because some of the BCD SOI tech is moving to 300 millimeter. And I know NXP, which is your largest customer, I think, in SOI power has just announced a large expansion in 300. I was just interested to know if that is potentially something you can benefit from. And I have a follow-up. Thanks.
Your question is on power only, huh?
Yes, BCD, okay. SOI, then, power, yeah.
Okay, on power, for the moment, it's only 200 millimeters, okay? Then we are working on qualifying the 300 millimeter solutions that is ongoing amongst many customers, including the one you mentioned. But there are, among five customers, more or less, in which we are in a qualification phase, 200 and 300 millimeters. But for the moment, the products we are commercially selling and that are equipping the cars is 200 millimeters based.
Thanks for that. The other thing is just on millimeter wave. I noticed the latest iPad doesn't actually support millimeter wave anymore, which does kind of worry me that, you know, Verizon is kind of losing interest in millimeter wave. They just, because Apple just discontinued millimeter wave support on the iPad Pro. I mean, how meaningful would it be if Apple was to, drop millimeter wave support altogether on the iPhones? Thanks.
Well, we keep going that the penetration is going to be around 15%. Afterwards, some telecom service providers could have some specific strategy, reflections that is not really impacting this 15%. We sell FDSOI more and more to support millimeter wave, handsets deliveries, particularly in the US. And as I said, if we take the S24 Galaxy by Samsung dedicated for the US market, 50 millimeter square is dedicated for FDSOI in order to mainly support with several modules millimeter wave adoptions. Then this we don't see some softening or slowdown in FDSOI sales and adoption within the handset regarding a millimeter wave.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. It appears there are no further questions, so I will hand back to Mr. Pierre for any additional or closing remark. Please go ahead. It appears we have no more questions, so I will hand back to Pierre for any additional or closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Then thank you. Thank you for your interest in Soitec and the dynamic exchange this morning. The next date in our agenda will be the combined release of our Q2 25 revenue and our H1 results on the 20th of November after market close. This ends our call for today. Thank you again.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.